Thank you, Tetsuo. I'm now going to invite Scott Stone to come up. Scott's going to give a presentation on Australia's carbon footprinting work using the ICAO carbon calculator.
Oh, I'm conscious this is a tough session. It's after lunch. And besides Katie, there's 8 blokes in suits talking about taxes and carbon emission trading. And the good news is that after me, there's 2 airline representatives to tell us what they think about taxing the aviation industry. And I'll be talking about aviation carbon footprinting in Australia, which I know is everybody's favourite subject. So thank you. Carbon footprinting is a fundamental first step in the management of aviation emissions. We need to know the quantum and specific sources of the emissions if we're to develop appropriate responses to limiting or reducing these emissions. We also need to know how to effectively communicate our strategies to reduce the emissions. As Chris mentioned, this work builds on the ICAO carbon calculator, so we wanted to acknowledge the work that's gone into that. This has provided a sound basis for airport-to-airport carbon emissions calculations, and we've used that methodology as the basis for this computational tool. In recent years, the aviation industry has received a significant amount of public pressure arising from a perception that the industry is not doing enough to manage its carbon footprint. Even when the industry has responded with descriptions of measures it's taking to reduce emissions, there's often insufficient information available to verify industry claims. When emissions calculators started to become available on the internet, we found that they produced widely varying results, which often inspired no confidence from the public. The importance of transparency and public confidence in carbon footprinting was recognised by ICAO in 2007 when it initiated work on the ICAO carbon calculator. The calculator, as you know, was released in 2008 and it's proven to be a very useful tool for computing carbon footprints both by travellers and for corporate purposes. Australia is utilising the ICAO carbon calculator algorithm computations at the heart of our calculator. The software program Australia is developing is called TNIP Carbon Counter. It builds on the disaggregated movement by movement computation concepts used in our TNIP Transparent Noise Information program, which was developed to better describe noise information for non-experts. The transparent aspect of this software enables users to easily see the internal workings of the program and to adjust parameters themselves to suit their own circumstances. This application is built on a standard Microsoft Access platform, but the algorithms could be adopted to other software and it can be operated on a standard personal computer. We see this tool as an important first step in establishing a quantitative footprinting regime for our aviation industry. It enables the management of the carbon footprint to be based on facts rather than on sometimes very emotional perceptions. And as I mentioned before, the counter uses the same algorithms used by ICAO. The program's able to aggregate point-to-point data across aviation networks, taking account of load factors and individual aircraft types. It can, importantly, also incorporate a carbon price as necessary. I'll now give you an overview of how the program works and what sort of outputs we're expecting to generate. This is just a quick screenshot of what you get when you open the calculator, and we anticipate having this available on our website in the next few months. The carbon counter utilises aircraft movement data sets that are available for all movements in Australia. And the input data file looks something like this. I don't expect you to memorise that. But essentially, it's fairly simple. There's some movement times, there's date and the local time, there's the origin airport, destination airport, aircraft type. That's about it. We get this data from our Air Services Australia, which is Australia's air navigation service provider. The key fields of interest here are the date, origin and destination airport and aircraft types. The program also requires specific input data for initial setup, and this only has to be done once and it's not a requirement for general users, but what we do is enter the latitude and longitude of each airport to compute adjusted great circle distances, information on the number of seats in each aircraft type and load factors on particular routes. The fuel used, and hence the CO2 generated for each flight, is computed using the Coronair dataset. The computation is effectively the same as that carried out by the ICAO carbon calculator. The carbon counter aggregates single flight footprint information across an aviation network. Comprehensive filtering tools then allow us to do slicing and dicing of the data to generate a wide range of reports. But does it work? One of the first questions we've got is how accurate is this tool? We've made some strenuous efforts to validate the robustness of the carbon counter outputs. In Australia, we have good fuel sales data, and we've done some comparisons. As in New Zealand, it's valid to compare fuel data for Australia because there's very limited ability for airlines to tanker. The columns on the right, with the red ellipse around them, show the results on a cumulative monthly basis. You can see that over the full year 2008-09, the difference is only around 2%, so we think it's a pretty robust tool. We recognise that further validation could be required, but I think importantly, what we believe from this is that you can get robust carbon footprinting information across networks using adjusted great circle computations and the same algorithms used by the ICAO carbon calculator. This removes the need for gathering and manipulating large amounts of complex input data such as radar tracks, aircraft thrust settings, etc., in order to carry out carbon footprinting. I think that's a key point, because in our view it's very important that reporting for states in any framework that's eventually established by ICAO is sufficiently simple and can be generated by realistic data sets. We're currently trialling various ways to best present the system-wide information. This can be quite a challenge given the amount of data that can be generated for an aviation system. It also depends very much on the audience that's wanting to use the information. We've concluded that a layered approach is needed, and I'll give you some brief examples. This is essentially an industry-wide overview for Australia. And the approach is to show the CO2 emissions according to international regions for the first port of call of aircraft departing from Australia. Each box on the diagram provides further information on a per passenger basis for average CO2 emissions and the average energy used. And you can see from that Australia's total international carbon footprint from aviation is something just over 8 megatons of CO2. Per passenger, that's an average of about 0.64 tonnes of carbon dioxide. We've also presented the information here in terms of megawatt hours, because that allows us to make a comparison in terms of household electricity use. And as an example, the top right-hand corner there shows traffic to North America. It represents about 1.37 tonnes of carbon dioxide per passenger. So you can quickly, the system can also build in a carbon price. So let's say $20 a tonne, that shows that the cost is about $27 to offset that at a $20 carbon price. We'd like to present that sort of information. We think it gives people information then to do personal offsetting or to get a meaningful idea of what the impact of the carbon footprint of their aviation travel is. Alternatively, the figure at the bottom, 5.2 megawatt hours per passenger, compares to the average household energy use in Australia, which is about 5 to 7 megawatt hours of electricity. So interestingly, that's one trip to North America is about the same as an average household's electricity use. This is just another example of a report the system can generate. It shows the individual footprint of various cities, which is of probably greater internal use for us, but you can see, not surprisingly, the thickness of the lines is indicative of the footprint. So Sydney has the highest footprint, highest international traffic also, followed by Melbourne and Brisbane. This also gives us a footprint by Australian states or provinces, which is not so much interest to you, but of interest to us. Just going into to the general footprint, these concentric circles or concentric discs give an idea of the comparison between the footprint of the number of aircraft movements as opposed to the footprint of the movements. It illustrates the poor correlation between the number of operations and the size of footprint for a given set of movements. In this case, you can see that international operations account for about 7.5% of all movements, that's the inner red slice, but generate about 57% of the carbon footprint. Alternatively, the regional or interstate operations in green represent 58% almost of movements, but only 10.8% of the carbon footprint. This for us brings up an interesting policy application that this tool could provide. And this is just one example. A commonly promoted strategy for minimising the carbon footprint of aviation is to reduce the amount of short-haul travel by diverting passengers away from aviation to other modes of transport. This is particularly the case in regions where there are well-developed alternative travel modes, particularly road or rail, for distances less than 500 kilometres. The diagram looks at this approach in the Australian context. These are movements for Sydney. And on the left is the carbon footprint. The right is the number of aircraft movements. You can see that in the 2008-09 financial year, 29% of departures from Sydney Airport travel less than 500 kilometres. That's the lower trunk on the green diagram. But you can see from the lower trunk on the red diagram that these short-haul operations generated only 1.6% of the carbon footprint of aircraft departing from Sydney. This indicates that even if it were feasible to transfer all the short-haul passengers departing Sydney to another mode of transport, this would only marginally reduce the CO2 emitted by aircraft departing the airport. Particularly interesting for us is in that Sydney is becoming a capacity-constrained airport with a slot scheme, that you have to ask yourself what would happen if we did remove those short-haul passengers from that, and the obvious answer is that you would get more long-haul travel, which would give you a net increase in your carbon footprint. And I was talking to Tim about this in the break. I think it brings up an interesting policy question at Heathrow also, that where you've got capacity constraints, the new government's policy is to not continue with Heathrow expansion. You've got capacity constraints. If you did make decisions to move short-haul traffic out of Heathrow, would the result be more long-haul and therefore a higher carbon footprint? As most of you know, ICAO has endorsed the goal of an annual 2% improvement in fuel efficiency up to the year 2050. A commitment like this requires that fuel efficiency can be quantified and reported over time in order to transparently show the progress that's being made towards achieving the goal. This slide shows the fuel efficiency that our carbon calculator can give us on information from Sydney over a 10-year period. It shows that fuel efficiency has improved by an average of about 1% over the past 10 years at Sydney. However, the slide also illustrates that despite the improvement in fuel efficiency over time, the total fuel consumed has continued to grow. Thanks. This continued growth in the carbon footprint is the reason for the ongoing discussions in ICAO on more ambitious carbon emissions goals. In conclusion, I'd just like to reiterate that the development of the ICAO carbon calculator has been a very important step in facilitating transparent and readily accessible carbon footprinting, and we acknowledge the work of the team in ICAO who's developed that software. Our experience suggests that carbon footprint computations based on great circle methods can deliver very robust results, allowing systems which are able to be implemented with modest data and system requirements. Application of the concepts and algorithms underlying the ICAO carbon calculator can provide a great deal of useful carbon footprint information using simple, readily available input data. These concepts can facilitate rapid footprint reporting using common spreadsheet, database and graphic tools, such as the Australian one I've described here today. Thank you.